that or not. So, okay, for the next talk, which is back to just a standard talk, not a panel discussion that we just had, I would like to announce Alan Cornell, who is presenting information about modifying an existing commercial product for cryptographic module evaluation. And Alan works mainly with the Common Criteria and FIPS 140 standards, helping vendors to achieve their certification goals. And he has over 20 years of experience as a developer, as well as consultant working in the IT certification. He fills his days by giving workshops, providing implementation support, as well as writing evidence documents. So thank you and welcome.
Thank you, Stefan. Thank you. Quite often I'm sitting in my office, not looking out the window, working quite hard, and the phone will ring and there'll be someone on the end of the phone and saying something along the lines of, we've got this product and we're trying to sell it into a bank or we're trying to sell it into an Asian government, and there's this thing on the procurement requirements that says FIPS 140 and we don't know what it is and we don't know if our product meets it and we just want to know more about it. And that's kind of what this inspired this talk. So what I'm going to talk about today is what you have to do if you're in that position. So you have a product, it sells well, and you've got this opportunity to enter a new market, but in order to do so, you need to get certification. Okay, so in order to get from where you are to where you want to be, your product, because at the moment it's a product, it hasn't become a module. It will transition into a module, but at the moment it's a product. And that, in order to get that certification, your product needs to implement at least one FIPS 140 approved function. And on top of that, it needs to meet all the other requirements at FIPS 140-2. And when I say FIPS 140-2, I mean, most of what I talk about is going to be equally valid to the ISO standard. And I will kind of compare the two when we start talking about self-tests. Okay, so there are 11 sections of the FIPS 140 standard. I've got ahead of myself. So when we're talking about approved functions, they're all listed in Annex A of the standard. So if you go to Annex A, you'll see that you've got, it's actually, there aren't that many functions there. There are a lot more than there used to be. Sorry, mustn't do that. I get really annoyed when people say, we used to do this, and then you get a presentation where it's 20 minutes of history and 5 minutes of what we're doing now. So I'm not going to do that. So if we go to Annex A, we find that you've got symmetric key cryptography algorithms, asymmetric key cryptography algorithms, hashing, random number generators, and message authentication. More specifically, you've got AES, triple DES in its three key form, EES, DSS, SHS, and SP800-98 DRBGs, and essentially all other things being equal, as long as you implement one of those, there's a chance that you're going to be able to get FIPS 140-2. And if you haven't got that and you can't get that, then you really need to go back to the person who wrote the procurement spec and ask them why that requirement's there. So I see, as I've already said, I see FIPS 140 as an enabler. It enables you to get into markets that you are prevented from getting into for regulatory reasons. And so, bearing that in mind, there's only one reason to get FIPS 140, and that is if, by doing so, you make more money than it costs to get it. It's, from my perspective, it's always a purely a commercial decision. If we look at and if we're thinking about that, most requirements that I see call for level one, and I don't see that many reasons for going above level one. Other people, there may be some, and if someone knows some, please tell me afterwards, because I'd like to then tell the customers why they need to get level two or level three. And if we look at the current module validation list, I think that I looked last Friday, and I think the most recent certificate on the list at the time was 2,633, and I'm going to have to use my notes for this because I can't remember all these numbers. But there are 1,326 active certificates, of which not quite the majority, but 570 were at level one, 521 were at level two, 223 were at level three, and there were 12 at level four. As I say, for the purpose of this talk, I'm going to concentrate primarily on level one, mainly because I don't like to use the word bolting on, because essentially you could be sort of seen as adding features in order to get FIPS 140-2. But essentially, level one is more often than not achievable, whereas if you go up to the higher levels and you haven't thought about it in advance, it's harder to get. And if I get the time, I might go back and see when we had FIPS 140-1, whether there were more level one certificates, because something else that I find amusing is people phone me up and they say, we need FIPS 140 level two. And I said, do you? And they say, yeah, we need FIPS 140 level two. And it often turns out that what they mean is they need FIPS 140-2. So I wonder sometimes if there are people who've got level two just because they've asked for the wrong thing, and no one's actually gone back and told them that, actually, no, you don't need that. But anyway, that's just as it is. So, right, so we've got 11 sections that you need to comply with. We've already talked about your approved functions, and the next three slides are, I wrote this down so I could remember it as well. I can't find the note. So they're lifted straight out of the FIPS 140-2 standard. They're the summary of the levels and the sections. And essentially on this page, more often than not, a level one to two, to meet the requirements for cryptographic module specification, cryptographic module ports and interfaces, role servers and authentication, finite state model, you just kind of have to document what you do already. You shouldn't really have to change anything to meet those. If we go down more, physical security at level one, you should have that already. I mean, if you're selling a commercial product, it really ought to be using production grade equipment. Operating environment. If you've got a fixed or non-modifiable operating environment, then those requirements don't apply. But assuming they do, so you've got a software module which is running on a general purpose OS, you just need to configure that into single operator mode, and you'll need an approved integrity technique. And we'll come back to that when we talk about self-tests. Key management is a big thing, and I will talk about it later. EMI, EMC, again, if you're on a general purpose computer, that should be taken care of. If you're selling anything, you know, you'll need FCC compliance. So hopefully you've got that already. Self tests, that deserves more consideration later. Design assurance, again, it's really about saying what you do. And if you are operating commercially, if you are making money, then you should be able to demonstrate that you have configuration management, that you have designed your product, that you it does come with guidance. And mitigation of other attacks is, it's optional. So, you know, if we're bolting this on and we just want to meet, if we just want to enable ourselves to sell into this market that we're restricted from selling into, then we'll just put that to one side. So, I've covered this already, but it does bear repeating, because I think some people do forget it, is that, you know, you can look at FIPS 140-2 as being a quality standard, and it is, but, you know, but if you get it, then you've got that. But the reason for having it is so you can sell product. So again, you can do as much, well, you can't do as little work as you want to on this, but there are ways of doing more work in order to get your certificate than you strictly have to. But that may save you money going forward. So what you need to do, so once you've understood what the requirements are, and I'm jumping ahead of myself and coming back, but I will go over key management and self-tests later on. But essentially, just for the mechanics of the process, we do a compliance audit to identify what if anything you need to implement in order to get FIPS 140, because these days chances are there will be gaps, and I'll go over them all. Whenever I've done this, I mean, I've done more or less 50 FIPS certifications now, and with every one of those, there have been two gaps that come up again and again and again. But, and I'll come to those in a minute. But so, if you want to do more work to save money later, it's a really good idea to restrict your cryptographic boundary to only include the FIPS 140 relevant functionality within that cryptographic boundary, and to have your application or your general purpose stuff outside of that. But often that's not something you can do if you're in a hurry and you need to bolt this conformance on. But you can still go through the exercise of thinking, well, if I did have the time and the money, what would my cryptographic boundary look like? And then, you know, you might be able to put it in the roadmap. You might be able to take it as a learning opportunity and feed that through for the future. So, yeah. I almost guarantee if you are a commercial vendor, you will not do key zeroization in a way that meets FIPS 140, and there will be something wrong with your self-tests. Guaranteed. And on top of that, you may need to do something to your algorithms. You may not. They may be okay. But the thing about algorithms is, if you're only operating with your own product, you know, you can do AS in a funny way or not quite right, and you won't know, because it kind of works. It's only when you start to interoperate and when you actually start to test the implementation that you actually find out whether your implementation is correct or not. And I haven't mentioned entropy so far. I'm not going to give a history lesson, but, you know, entropy, that is something that will also come up. And key management, you will have to do something with your key management. It won't be right. Okay, so how long have I got, Stefan?
Still 10 minutes.
Good, right. So, yeah, approved algorithms need CAVP test certificates. Algorithm testing has to happen. It's a prerequisite for module testing. But the nice thing about CAVP testing, or one of the many nice things about CAVP testing, is that it's free. The labs will charge you, but you won't notice, because labs charge you a big lump of money. And, you know, most of the time you just think, whoa! And you don't sort of look at the little bits that they're charging. You just look at the bottom line. So, as it says there, if you test early, it gives you opportunities to fix things, and often it can give you, because FIPS 140 is so big and horrible and time consuming, when you do your CAVP testing and it's quick and it works and you get listed on the website, it gives you a really good feeling, and it can help you sort of motivate you for the slog to come. And also, you know, it can give you, you know, it's something visible. You know, if you're getting hassled by your customers and they're saying, well, look, you said you'd get this and it's taking 10 months or a year, then, you know, at least if you've got that, you know, you can show some progress. So, self-tests. Now, we've got the two types of self-tests. You've got your power-up self-tests, your conditional self-tests. Now, self-tests have to run, with the power-up self-tests, they have to run at startup, they have to run in a way where it doesn't require any intervention, and in a way where they can't be disabled. And so there's one set of tests for the algorithms. So you have a set of known answer tests for your algorithms, just to prove that, you know, when you start up your module, your algorithms are okay, they work. And you need an integrity test that for the whole of your module image. So for hardware where you've got a fixed operating environment, you can get away with a nice fast additive 16-bit checksum. Whereas if you've got a general purpose operating system, you need to have an approved integrity technique. But you know, you've already got the algorithms for that. They've been tested. So if you're not doing it already, it's not a huge job to get that working. And then, you know, you've got conditional self-tests depending on what you're doing. So you might need them for the random number generator or whenever you generate asymmetric key pairs. Now, ISO 19790 treats self-tests slightly differently. So if you're kind of implementing the letter of that and then going back to FIPS 140, you can kind of get in a muddle. But for the most part, if you implement FIPS 140-2, you can kind of shoehorn that into the ISO 19790 self-test in with a few reservations, but in most cases. So entropy. Again, it's even if you've been doing this for a while, you know, entropy can still come along and cause you a problem. But I mean, essentially, the strength of the keys that you're producing with your random number generator is they're only as good as the quality of the entropy that you use to seed it. And the strength of the key is the weaker of these two factors. So if you've got no entropy, you've got no keys. Now, you know, IGs have been introduced to sort of focus attention on entropy. They haven't really upped the requirements, but they've just kind of focused people's attention so that the requirements are being interrogated a lot more, and you have to provide a lot more evidence that your entropy sources are good enough. Fine, thank you. Okay. So the amount of work you want to, that's self-test. So key management, the amount of work you do for key management depends on the scope of your module. So the more you put in, the more work there is to do. And the more you take out, the less work there is to do. But you've always got to bear in mind that if you're doing this for federal markets, then they require a compliant solution. They don't just require a compliant module. But you know, if all you've got is a box you need to tick for FIPS 140, you know, you could just have something that does AES encryption as a service, does the self-tests, and you know, essentially, that would be all you need to do. But you know, but that would restrict your market. You wouldn't then be able to sort of sell into federal workspace. Now, the key management standards are, there are a lot of them now, and the more key management you bring into the scope of your module, the more you'll have to do, and there can be a lot of work. So, That's level one. Now, in addition to level one, if you get that and you think you're able to do that and you can justify going up through the levels, you might like to think about level two. Now, in addition to level one, level two is requires tamper-evident physical security and role-based authentication. Now, role-based authentication, yeah, it's easy enough. Tamper evidence can be a problem. You've got two requirements. You've got tamper evidence, and you've also got opacity. Now, if you do it right, tamper evidence, you know, you use the sticky labels, you apply them, you leave them for a week, and hopefully they're baked in and you won't be able to get them off. So maybe you'll get that. But the opacity thing, if you've got a hot module, you need ventilation holes. You look through the ventilation holes, you can see the composition of the module. If you can see the composition of the module, you fail the requirement. So you need to put baffles or louvers or whatever. And that's, your module gets hotter. So it's a choice. And as I said, you know, you need to be able to justify level two. Level three, there are more requirements. So port separation, manual key transport, tamper detection, identity-based authentication, and tougher EMC, home use EMC regulations. Again, most of those you might be able to get right, but tamper detection and response physical security is hard to bolt on. It costs a lot of money. Level four, it's hard enough to build it in. It's very hard to build it. There's only 12 current modules, so, and some of those are very simple things. So it's, leave level four alone. So, sorry, 2 minutes. Okay, so to conclude, FIPS 140 and ISO 97-90, they embody standards-based cryptography, and this embodiment increases over time. It will continue to increase over time. It's harder. It's getting harder every day to adapt proprietary solutions to meet the requirements of CNVP. So, I mean, now you can do it. So, as a positive, we can modify commercial products to get certification. But it's always but as I say, reiterating this again and again and again, cost justify it. You know, don't do it for fun. Don't do it because so and so has got level two or so and so has got level three. And if you plan for the future, it's easier. But I mean, just going back to the standards based thing, I mean, end of next year, we've got vendor affirmation of, so non-compliant key transport, non-compliant key agreements going out the wall, going out the window, and we're getting more regulation. So, yeah, on a positive note, I think today we can do it, but I think in the future, chances are you are going to, the commercial and government, they always diverge, but I think they're going to diverge even further than they have today. So, thank you.
For this? Okay. Thank you very much.
Any answers? Anyone know why I need level two?
Well, it used to be that the Army had.
I know. There was a DOD list.
Out there, yeah. They've relaxed that. So I do agree with you, more level one. I think level three makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Level three makes a lot of sense for single chips.
Sure.
Yeah, just to partly answer your question, there was a real good analysis done by Annabelle Lee. I think it's still available on the web about the reasons for different levels and the requirements and what do they mitigate against. So there is the literature out there. There's been an analysis done, but I agree mostly level one is really good enough. And higher levels are more, the module is more available. Access is more available, really. That's just...
I think there's no problem going for an overall level one and then bumping up your levels for role service and authentication, design assurance. I mean, we see that a lot. And that to me, that makes sense. But I think if you go up the level, you do restrict things in terms of what you can sell.
And it's cost as well.
And it costs. It costs.
Yep. Anyways, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Hey, is this in presentation mode or is this?
That is yours. It's PDF.
What is a PDF? Do you have the? present. Do you have a non-PDF version?
Oh, I don't know. We'll see. But it's on here. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I have some motions in it.
Okay. Is that okay? Or do you want to take?
Well, I was wondering if there is a... If there was a presentation mode. My guess is there's not, because it's probably... I'll leave it. I'm not going to try it. Okay. So I'll let it be.